Well, Trump tacoed out on Tuesday yet again. It's always Taco Tuesday when it comes to Trump. Trump always chickens out, and this time he backed off of his repeated threat to bomb the smithereens out of Iran, and he extended the ceasefire, no doubt under extreme pressure from not only his own war generals, but also U.S. allies like South Korea and Taiwan, etc., even Japan. Countries that are running out of energy because of the war and the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. And Trump is throwing them all under the bus. And in fact, if Trump were to proceed with this next round of attacks on Iran, Iran has promised to obliterate the energy infrastructure of the Persian Gulf, which would plunge the entire world into an extreme depression, with Mad Max scenarios in some areas, some countries, mass famine, starvation, and a die-off of some significant portion of the human race. Could be as much as 10% or even higher of the current human population. It could be a billion people. Just depends on, you know, how bad it gets. So Trump has chickened out or backed down, which frankly is the wise thing to do. I'm glad he did it. I'm not mocking him for doing it. It was the only logical choice. Trump should sit down and he should negotiate with Iran. And as part of that negotiation, you would have to recognize Iran's control over the Strait of Hormuz. And you'd have to allow Iran or agree to Iran's right to charge a toll as a means of reparations for all the damage that's been done to Iran during this war so far. So for every ship that passes through, Iran would need to get paid, you know, $1 million or $2 million, or maybe it's contingent upon the value of the cargo, but they need some kind of restitution for the damage that has been caused. In addition, as Iran has said numerous times, the world needs to recognize Iran's intrinsic right as a sovereign nation to enrich uranium and provide for nuclear enrichment, even for just a peacetime nuclear energy program, if not weapons. But Iran is already a nuclear nation. Clearly, they can enrich nuclear fuel, and they have, you know, nuclear researchers and engineers, and they have the capability to put together nuclear power and also nuclear weapons. So you can't bomb the math out of Persia. You know, you can't bomb the knowledge away from these people who are very gifted in terms of math and engineering and sciences and so on. So Trump needs to abandon that aim of trying to forever prohibit Iran from ever having nuclear weapons. And instead, Trump needs to figure out how to coexist with Iran as a nuclear state. Now, Trump backing down from this current crisis, it doesn't mean that it's over permanently. We're not even close to that. In fact, there's still no agreement between the West and Iran on what a peace deal would look like, you know, a permanent peace deal. There's a chasm between the two sides. For example, the United States and Israel will never agree to Iran having any nuclear capability whatsoever. And Iran will never give in and give up its nuclear capabilities. So that's not going to get solved easily. In addition, Iran is never going to let the United States of America control the Strait of Hormuz. And Iran is never going to allow the Gulf state nations to rebuild U.S. Military bases in the region that would continue to threaten Iran. So those points, you know, there's no common ground along those points, which means that probably this war is going to continue, or the standoff will continue. I believe that Iran can handle this for a much longer duration than the United States. The U.S. is the one that seems to be suffering the most from this in terms of the damage being done to its allies and to the world economy and to the credibility of the United States in particular, especially the credibility of the military. Whereas Iran has lived under sanctions for almost 50 years. They know how to live under sanctions. They can go without revenue for months or even maybe a year or longer because they've been living that way for a long time. The U.S. hasn't lived that way. So My guess is Iran is just going to sit there and wait this out. I mean, why wouldn't they? They can wait it out longer than the West can. Trump was looking for a quick one weekend, you know, in and out, instant victory, Venezuela style. And instead, he got a Vietnam 2.0. He got this long, drawn out conflict that threatens to go for months and threatens to destroy economies and to cause gas prices to skyrocket much higher and food prices to skyrocket, even in the United States. And that's going to hurt Trump politically, or at least his party in the polls, although there's not really any evidence that he cares about the GOP. He only cares about himself. But nevertheless, the other members of the GOP should themselves be concerned that Trump is going to throw them all under the bus and drag them into the fire of political doom. That seems to be his intent at this point. But I would imagine that Trump's getting a lot of backlash from members of the House, even in his own party, and also certain senators as well. Not Lindsey Graham, who's a lunatic, obviously, but the more rational senators that are probably opposed to at least elements of this war escalation. So the takeaway from all of this is that you and I, we still don't have a secure future. We still don't have a resolution. We don't know what's going to happen to the world's energy supply. We don't know what's going to happen to global supply chains or food, for that matter, because of, you know, fertilizer shortages, etc. Nothing has been resolved and the ships are not moving yet, except for a very tiny number each day, you know, single digits typically, whereas it should be 120 ships a day or something on that order. Nothing like that is happening. The world is still in a chokehold. The world's energy backbone is still being strangled. The world's fertilizer supply is still being held off. And as long as these conditions are maintained, the ramifications for the world are going to become increasingly dire by the week. One week after another, it ratchets closer and closer to a Mad Max scenario. Now, I recently interviewed Matt Bracken about all of this, and he warns that it looks like there are also sabotage teams that are burning down oil refineries and fertilizer plants in different countries around the world. And I agree with that assessment. I think it's very clear that that is happening. So in addition to this war, someone is running sabotage teams to take out global energy infrastructure in order to exacerbate the worst effects of this, to have worse food shortages, more energy lockdowns, more Mad Max scenarios, and ultimately more depopulation because of all the mass famine, not to mention, you know, civil revolts and violence that will occur because of this. So clearly somebody at the top here is hoping that this war can be leveraged into a global human extermination plan that achieves some large level of population reduction, possibly measured in the billions, not just the millions. Energy lockdowns are coming. That's going to be the next big move here, where they lock everybody down by saying, not in every country, but it'll happen like in Australia and New Zealand and Asian countries, South Korea, it's already begun. It's going to get worse and worse, but there will be lockdowns, and they will say, you know, you're only allowed to drive on certain days of the week. You're only allowed a certain quota of gasoline per week, etc. Diesel will be rationed. All of the jet fuel will be rationed. Some airlines will have to cease operations. There will be surcharges for transportation. The airlines that are still operating will have surcharges on their air tickets, etc. So we're going to go through something kind of like COVID, but way worse, which is energy lockdowns. And there's no way around it because you can't make your own gasoline. You can't make your own diesel. Now, if you have an electric vehicle, you can make your own electricity through solar panels, but you would have had to install all of that before now, and you would need a lot of excess electricity in order to charge an electric vehicle. Even then, some of the EVs can be remotely turned off, like I think the Tesla vehicles can as well, or controlled through, you know, remote software, etc. So the situation for humanity is looking pretty dire. And as these lockdowns kick in, you're going to see a lot of food poverty. You're going to see panic and starvation, people at food banks. You're going to see storable food become extremely valuable. There'll be a lot of barter taking place. People will try to acquire food. They'll try to acquire garden seeds. They'll start to grow more gardens if they can. You're going to see food production at home being a survival technique, not just a hobby. So that's coming as well. So in the meantime, if you want to get prepared, we have backup food supplies and at my online store, healthrangerstore.com. And you know, on top of that, when this war began in the Middle East, I instructed my staff, as you may have heard, I told them, fill up the warehouse. I said, go out and buy everything that you can buy. That's organic, obviously, that passes our lab tests, etc., because those are our strict standards for heavy metals and glyphosate and dioxins now and everything else. So we have ultra clean food. But I instructed my staff to go out and find everything you can and stock up. And they did. They did. A lot of that food is now en route. The good news is we did not get very many rejections because we started very early in the war. And at that time, our farmer co-ops and the wholesalers and the distribution companies that we work with, they still had good supply. That situation is going to change dramatically in the next 60 days. So we bought, in some cases, some of the last supplies of what they had. In other cases, you know, we were just one more order in against a pile of supplies, let's say, like organic oats. You know, there's still plenty of organic oats. But that's not going to last forever. And if you fast forward a few months, even just a couple of months, you're going to start seeing the wholesalers running out of food. And especially stretching into the fall season here in the United States, you're going to see shortages that are really unprecedented. And that's when you're going to have retail food prices going up substantially, because you're going to have, if you think about it, companies like, you know, Kellogg's or whoever, General Mills, the companies that make the stuff, the processed food, the breakfast cereals, you know, the toaster pastries, the breads, whatever, those companies are going to have to start bidding up the prices for these raw materials in order to get them. And they tend to have a lot of markup in their products, so they can actually afford to pay more for the raw materials, but that will increase the wholesale price and then the retail price, which means that at the grocery store, you're going to see these prices go up substantially. And then the available supplies for everybody else will be sharply reduced. So that's when you're going to start to have shortages. And at some point, although we're not there yet, just kind of depends on how long this war goes on, at some point, you're going to end up with many food categories having no availability at any price. Again, we're not there yet, thank goodness, but that could be coming. And since I don't see any way, I mean, I don't see a common ground in this war situation right now, it's hard to estimate when there could be some kind of a solution here. Seems very unlikely, especially with Trump's ego in the mix, because he's a narcissist lunatic and he always wants to win, which in his mind means everybody else has to lose. So he's not going to stop the bombing until Iran loses, and Iran's not going to surrender. So, you know, how does this ever get resolved? Maybe in the U.S., maybe somebody removes Trump from office, you know, 25th Amendment or something like that. Maybe he resigns. You know, maybe he gets replaced and then somebody else has a new approach. Although that seems unlikely as well. But those are possibilities. In the meantime, get yourself prepared. You can shop with us at healthrangerstore.com, and you'll be doing yourself a huge favor because we have massive supplies right now. I mean, our warehouse isn't quite full yet, but we're in the process of filling it up. We're going to have a lot of food for everybody. Well, I shouldn't say everybody. For the people who know about us, okay? I mean, we can't feed the whole country, obviously, but we can feed our customers. So when you want our certified organic, lab-tested, long-term storable foods and superfoods and ranger buckets, mini buckets, mega buckets from nuts and grains and quinoa and legumes and the meal mixes, the macaroni and cheese with real actual organic cheddar cheese in the mix, and and real cream and real butter, like nothing artificial. When you want that, shop with us. You'll be happy you did. HealthRangerStore.com. Thank you for listening. Take care.
Savor rich, cheesy goodness made with clean, organic ingredients. Our mac and cheese combines quinoa elbows and a flavorful mix of organic dairy and spices for a delicious, ready-to-cook meal. Stock up today at HealthRangerStore.com.